gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is an all-time first. Am I wrong 2 days in a row when I said the Herman Cain scandal couldn't get betterer?
Oh,
it just got betterer.
It got betterer times two.
But there's a third woman?
Oh, yeah.
And also, I thought it was us racist liberals that did this. And it turns out Herman Cain's top aide said it was Rick Perry's.
Yeah.
Rick Perry's camp. Who would have suspected the right-wing guy with the N-word had ranch? Not me.
Rush Limbaugh was so sure that it was racist liberals that were behind
it. Yeah, that would be tough to... Woo, to see that coming. All right. 6 minutes.
Oh, this is delicious.
Oh, heavens. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com, the website, sexyliberal.com, the sexy liberal website. Hey, kids, we got Austin coming up next in my hometown in Buffalo, Fort Lauderdale, and I forgot the big year-ending show I haven't mentioned in a while. Denver.
After selling out venues all over the nation.
And wowing crowds across the states.
We have never been just a collection of red states and blue states.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is proud to announce their final date in 2011.
And they're closing out this year on a high note.
Rocky Mountain.
Denver, Colorado. That means you.
We love you, Denver! City by the Bay!
On December 17th, Denver's Paramount Theater will host this year's most highly acclaimed progressive comedy tour.
The Sexy Liberal Players, featuring talk radio star Stephanie Miller.
Geez, are we going to Denver or Whore Island?
Tickets are available at the Pepsi Center box office,
Dick's Sporting Goods box office,
at TicketHorse.com,
or by calling 303-53-HORSE.
Come join Steffi's Mile High Club with her signature brand of sexy liberal strain.
Don't miss your last chance to see the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in 2011.
Yeah. It's the Chris Mahana Quantica Show. And if you have a Dixon Cider card, even better.
I think Dick's got rid of those.
Okay. Hey, let's get Frisch, shall we? Here we go.
Woo! Carl.
Carl Frisch. WholeFightStrategies.com. Carl Frisch!
Good morning.
Come get your Herman Cain jollies on with us.
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm glad you called this morning because I have a confession.
Okay.
And I'd like to let everybody out
Chris,
there know today.
Take your organ out, please.
All right.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I am woman number four.
Oh,
that
Carl.
Was sexually harassed by Herman Cain.
Carl Frisch.
It happened in the back room of a pizza storage room where salami and sausage and various other toppings are stored.
Sure. He tried to twist your twisty bread even twistier. Is that the deal?
Let me just put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
The way he was talking, that freezer box was not keeping everything cold.
Yes, I understand. Oh. Thank you, Carl Frisch, for your honesty. I appreciate that. Show me on the doll. Where the pizza man touched you, little boy. Now, this is, because obviously Carl, you've worked on, national campaigns, obviously, for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, when this all came out, I mean, you're like, of course they're going to make the Clarence Thomas thing, and oh, it's liberals that did this. And, I mean,
I
right away
tweeted,
you go.
Like, the minute it happened,
yeah.
I think I tweeted, how long until right-wingers say that liberals always go after African-American conservatives with sexual harassment.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even like you say, someone, just at first blush, you'd go, liberals would wait until the regular,
the general election.
Yeah, there's nobody, the only people that would have a dog in this race would be someone, he's obviously rocketing up in the polls on the Republican side, right?
Yeah, I would love it if Herman Cain were the Republican nominee, and now I'd love it even more.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I had heard a lot of speculation that it was Karl Rove, and he's working with Romney, and that's the establishment candidate, but, what do you make of this? I mean, now a Herman Cain aide has come out and said it's Rick Perry's camp.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Rick Perry's camp. I mean, he seemed pretty happy a few days before the whole story broke.
I was going to say, he seemed pretty, in his little Drunky McDrunkerson comedy routine, he seemed almost giddy.
I mean, did somebody order a pizza? How cool is that?
Guess what
How
we just cool did to that? The N-word head. Ha, ha, ha. You know, you picture, you, you picture the, they probably planned this at the N-Word Head Ranch.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. Yeah. Or any of his other N-Word-themed vacation properties.
Theme parks and, the N-Word water slide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite thing is when this story first started unfolding, to believe conservatives was to believe that in the late 1990s, a cabal of liberal media insiders had placed at least two women deep inside the National Restaurant Association with the expressed goal of charging their boss with sexual harassment.
Yes.
Only to sign non-disclosure agreements and settlements for large cash sums with the agreement that their silence would not be broken until the year 2011, when boss was then running for president, and they would become anonymous sources to the liberal media that had set this whole plan in motion.
This was all planned by the president in his Kenyan kindergarten class, as you know.
when he was writing his speeches for presidential campaign.
Yeah. Sure. Now, Carl, before we dive into Right Wing World, what do you make of the Quinnipiac poll? Of course, was taken before the sexual, harassment allegations came out. But Herman Cain, I had even more, 30% to 23% over Mitt Romney. But, you know, the good news is the president has come up considerably in the polling.
Well, I would wait to see polling after scandal, because this guy, before that poll, this guy had gone through less vetting as a serious candidate than the average Godfather's Pizza delivery boy.
Yeah, yeah. I love that they always say, the president had no vetting. Are you kidding? Anyone he ever even talked to sat on a board with?
Wait to hear what Sean Hannity has to say about that coming up in Right Wing World.
Oh, awesome. All right, let's dive into it. Oh, you tease. Let's just do it now. All right. Rich Galen, he's our official right-wing tool of the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's right.
He's not, why? Because he's not that tool-y.
Right.
He tends to say,
And he laughs at your jokes. Yeah, that's important.
Right. And it's not the crime, it's the cover-up. I have no idea what actually happened, but what the campaign has done starting Sunday night and continuing through today has just dug a deeper and deeper and wider hole, I think, for the campaign.
You can't say reasonable things in right-wing world. you're supposed to say liberals are racist, and this is obviously blah, blah, blah.
He's right. We don't know what really happened here. Only a few people do.
Right.
And only one of them is legally allowed to talk about it freely.
Yeah.
That whole situation could be solved today if the National Restaurant Association would lift its...
Does Herman Cain have the worst... Yeah, but does he have the worst advisors, ever? Because, he went on TV and said, I would like to face my accusers.
was that a question, actually? Because this is the guy, his advisor is the guy in that smoking commercial.
That's right.
Yes.
And we're wondering if he's the worst advisor ever?
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
He's technically the worst advisor ever.
Because, you go, Herman, I wouldn't say that, because, you see, legally, you could just lift the... Yeah. Confidentiality clause.
And he's benefiting right now from the scandal, that advisor, because otherwise we'd be talking about him, secretly funneling cash to the campaign to the tune of $40,000 that was illegal.
Exactly. Buried.
Mark Block is the one behind this.
That could be.
Distract from the financial scandal.
Can we just
scandal.
Call him Blockhead from now on?
There you go.
Idiot.
Charlie Brown. Yeah, I mean, it is hilarious. He goes on TV, this is a smear campaign. I want to face my acute. What? No, she can't talk. I need to consult my lawyers.
When that ad came out with him smoking, he was like, the campaign said let Block be Block. I'm like, first of all, the campaign learned the wrong message from watching The West Wing.
Right.
All right.
I loved watching him in that interview on Fox News because he actually took the time to comb his hair, which means he's serious now.
Now he's serious. All right. 15 minutes after the hour, Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar. We continue with the much-teased Sean Hannity soundbite in Right Wing World. Next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. What a show! David Bender coming up, Valerie Plame Wilson, our buddy, our pal, Representative John Garamendi, and Representative Jim McDermott, all on the big show today.
Holy cow, we're going to explode.
I just yelled at a bunch of other people's names while Carl Frisch is still here. I'm so sorry, honey. You know I love you best.
And that's when he said, did somebody order a pizza? I'm sorry, I was just talking to my attorney.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm just trying to straighten these things out.
Unlike this third woman, you do not wish to remain anonymous. You would like to be chatty.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody's going to get the big bucks here.
You want a book deal.
There's a lot to be written in a book. My experience being sexually harassed by Herman Cain.
All right. Oh, it's the much-promised Sean Hannity and Monica Crowley.
Yeah.
During the 2008 election campaign, we discovered about Barack Obama that he started his political career in the home of an unrepentant terrorist. Do either of you know how many times he was asked about that during the campaign?
I would venture to say
not
zero.
One time.
One.
And he answered, well, he's some guy in the neighborhood that he gave speeches with, sat on boards with, and started his campaign in his house. Do you see does this not expose a media double standard?
Herman Cain is now the front runner in the GOP field, so of course he's going to attract extra scrutiny, as all candidates running for president should. But as you point out, Sean, nearly 4 years ago, Barack Obama, when he started giving Hillary Clinton a real run for her money, the media backed off completely. They did not delve into his background.
No, please,
what?
God, are you kidding me? By the way, Carl, I've noticed that candidates tend to attract scrutiny that tend to sexually harass women and then pay huge settlements. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Well, you know, as I've already explained, Stephanie, and I can't believe I have to do this again.
Yes.
It was the liberal media who put those women under Herman Cain, so to speak, in the first place.
Of course. They were planted.
You know.
All right.
You know, they asked for it, by the way. They answered phones, first of all.
Uh-huh. The women did?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm not sure what that meant. Mike Gallagher on Fox News.
One of the big criticisms of Mr. Cain this week has been, well, he didn't handle this the right way. He didn't spin it the right way. He didn't come forth. And well, that's kind of refreshing. The guy's probably feeling like the roof is caving in on him. And he's not a career politician who might be skilled at damage control of a scandal. I think the American people are fed up with sleazy, litigious jerks who go after people like Herman Cain. And this is a very likable, popular guy who's being demonized, I'm convinced, because he dares to be a black man who's a conservative. The left hates blacks who are conservative.
Yeah, except it was Rick Perry's camp, not the left. And number two, so the women are sleazy. Is that what he say? It's the women that are sleazy, not Herman Cain.
Right. Well, you know, there's two things that bother me about this story. First of all, it's folks like we just heard, and Ann Coulter and Rush Limbaugh, who immediately leap to you know, saying stuff like, you know, this is just what happens when a conservative black man gets off the liberal plantation. Okay, that's just insulting and stupid.
Yeah.
And the second part is the media fascination with, you know, what's really the problem here is that Herman Cain has not handled this scandal properly from a public relations perspective. Yeah. No, what's really the problem here is that he apparently sexually harassed at least three women and made payouts to keep them quiet in at least two situations.
Yeah, and by the way,
that's the real problem here. It's not how he handled it in the press.
Well, yeah, and also, this is what you want as a president that handles crisis like this. Did you see him, like, going off on the reporters yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, yikes. Okay, Ben Stein on Fox News.
People have got to learn the dignity of work. It's not a burden. It's a pleasure to work.
Hey, Ben, dignity of work, it's not a burden. It's a pleasure to work. We have a few hundred people occupying Wall Street down here who don't seem to get that. Maybe you should show them a copy of your book.
Well, I think what they would do is probably dump some of their excrement on me if I did that. I mean, look, they're down there pounding on drums, leaving their feces on the ground. What good does that do? What on earth good does that do? They want to stop fraud on Wall Street. Let them work to stop fraud on Wall Street.
Yeah, well, they just got the Bank of America to repeal their fee and all the other banks, too. Not bad for
a bunch of... I would pay good sexual harassment lawsuit settlement money to have anybody put their feces all over Ben Stein.
He made a poo joke. Ben Stein made a poo joke.
And you know where you can get that is from the Used Food Emporium. So.
Yes, Herman Cain's Used Food Emporium.
Yes. You know what, Carl? I was at Occupy San Francisco, and I noticed a distinct lack of poo. I didn't... I didn't see poo anywhere. Isn't that weird?
Well, it just plays against the stereotype that these people have been trying to paint. I mean, when they realized that they weren't getting anywhere, when they said, we don't know what they stand for, what issues do they care about, they moved on to, you know, disparaging these folks based on their appearance and everything else. So
yeah.
It's still not working. I mean, the Occupy movement is more popular now than it was when it first started.
Yeah, exactly. Rush Limbaugh.
The education guilt trip didn't work, at least in Colorado for the time being.
Mm.
So the first linebacker and the first lady and the Bamster going to have to go out to Colorado and lecture them for being greedy. Can you see this? An entire state will be lectured by the Obamas for being greedy.
I can't get enough fat jokes about Michelle Obama from Rush Limbaugh. Fill in your own joke here.
He looks like he's eaten at least three Michelle Obamas.
Yes.
Just for breakfast. I mean.
Yeah, let's move, Rush. How about that?
Yeah.
All right. Judge Andrew Napolitano and guest Fox
These
Business.
Are fantastically brilliant people who are regulators. Elizabeth Warren running for Senate. She was a Harvard professor.
She's in that job.
Even if you don't agree with her position.
All right.
I mean,
all right.
She's
all right.
Very
well. We got to switch gears.
Wow. At least they don't believe in name calling. On the right.
She's
a nut job. Wow.
Yeah, she's a nut job, but Andrew Napolitano, who's a 9/11 truther,
right,
is not a nut job.
Yeah.
There
okay,
you go.
I see how it is.
I see how it works. Carl Frisch, you were delightful as usual. Go get back on the phone with your lawyer. Go get it.
And go visit him at carlfrisch.com.
Get that pizza
more
money.
Next week.
All right. Love you. Yeah. He died. You know what? Carl Frisch is a scamp.
He is.
He just is. All right, I was mentioning this Quinnipiac poll. This was taken, you know, Carl Frisch says, wait a second. This was taken before the unpleasantness.
Yeah.
But he extended his lead on Mitt Romney to 30 to 23%, almost quadrupling former leader Rick Perry's 8% support. He, of course, wanted to talk about that yesterday.
Quinnipiac poll just came out where they did a head-to-head between Mitt Romney and I. And I did defeat Mitt Romney by about 10 percentage points in that particular poll.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But nobody talked about that yesterday.
Mediaite saying the consensus among journalists I've spoken to is Kane can't survive this scandal unless one or more of his accusers comes forward. Oh, dear. And presents a credible account of those allegations. This is before the third woman's story broke. In the same poll, though, President Obama gained 6 points on his approval rating, going to, from 41-45 to 47% approval, 49% disapproval. While Mitt Romney still performs best in a head-to-head polling with the president, Obama is now beating all Republican challengers by margins of 5 to 16 points.
Yeah.
So, interesting. I mean, media, it's saying, summing it up, the president's seen steady progress in the poll since rolling out the American Jobs Act in September, taking it on the road. Elsewhere in the poll, Democrats open up a lead on generic ballot, beating Republicans 42-36. So, see, I have something to base my happy clappiness on. I'm not a mindless happy clappy. And they're also saying the effect of Occupy Wall Street is also energizing, I think, because they are talking about the same issues the president is, largely. 29 minutes after the hour, we return to Bender to talk about all this next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's a little bit older and very gentle.
She's blind in one eye.
Well, maybe I should just let her ride me.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1 to the phone number. Oh, it's that time when we return. David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
David Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
Yay, David Bender. Everyone, keep your arms and legs inside the Bender at all times. Hello, David Bender.
Hello. Hey, Chris, was that Orange Crush I heard?
It was by R.E.M.
R.E.M. Can we just have a light a candle? We miss R.E.M. They've broken up.
Yeah, but they still have a new song coming out very soon.
Do they?
Yes, they do.
You've made my day. That's great.
There you go.
And now,
okay,
let's back of the countdown.
Something for him to look forward to.
All right. Yeah, what, David? I mean, really. What?
It is the mark of Cain. Apparently, it leaves it everywhere.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw this, but there's new stories about how he went on a conservative radio talk show host, talk show.
And it could be a host.
He may have gone on the host.
Yes.
That's entirely possible. But, he went
but who's saying that about Laura Ingraham? Not me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I'm hoping you will find out what I'm talking about, because here's my plan, okay?
All right.
I think we, in fact, should prove that the right wing is correct. This is all a liberal plot to expose this conservative black man.
Yes.
So I think you should invite him on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Okay.
I think Herman Cain should come in.
He's gone on every other show.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He will. Here's the story. Apparently went into a radio live appearance, went into the studio, and started hitting on some of the people. This is according to one of the witnesses, saying, you know, he was just inappropriate with my staff.
Wow. Now, this is a right-wing radio host?
Right-wing radio.
Wow.
Yeah. These things, you know, the problem, of course, when you do these things is when you're doing them in public, and there are lots of people. This is what was talked about with the Restaurant Association. You know, people were all saying to him, Herman, stop doing this.
Right.
There are a lot of people in this room. He didn't go into a back room. He was just, I guess, verbally, he can't control himself.
Yeah, well, clearly he can't verbally control himself in any way. Look at, you know, just his, you know, the statements, whether it's on foreign policy or you know, I mean, you literally, can you believe you're watching this guy, you know, singing and you're going, this is not a serious candidate. He knows nothing about foreign policy.
Cast your mind back. If we go back in time, do we have way back machine music? If we go back in time, what, 4 months? There we go.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We were talking about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And we were having the same conversation about Donald Trump. Can you believe?
No, you're right.
He's
even more ridiculous a candidate. This has been the best year for ridiculous Republican candidates ever, hasn't it?
And it's Michelle Bachmann, and it's Sarah Palin, and it's Donald Trump, and each one more ridiculous than the next. But the point is, that is the nature of the vacuum.
Yeah.
If the media wants to have something like this, and it's build it up and then take it down, that's exactly what this is about. Now, remember, too, cast your mind even farther back, no music necessary.
No,
four years ago at this time, John McCain was about the same place Rick Perry is in the polls.
Mm-hmm.
He had plummeted to 10 or 8%. He was really, people were saying, a campaign on life support, no way he's going to make it past, you know, he might do well in New Hampshire, but he doesn't have the money, he can't go on. So people writing off Rick Perry right now, when this Kane bubble bursts, and you know, it may be before the end of the show, what we're going to see is all of those conservative voters, all the people who have had a chance to be with Mitt Romney for a year, are going to go somewhere.
Right.
And the question is the newly medicated Rick Perry, is he the guy that can inherit that? And that's the other story that's gotten buried in all of this. Apparently, Rick Perry had back surgery.
Yes.
And this is we now have an explanation for the debates, which is that you do not take your pain.
America
medication.
Doesn't go for booze or dope.
Norma.
Yes.
Norma. Yes, they do. But that's the interesting thing. If he gets to say I get a do-over because in fact, you know, it's just a terrible thing. I didn't want to talk about it, but I was having the back surgery, and now they've changed his meds.
Right.
Who knows? Rick Perry could actually be the guy who benefits.
Well, now what do you make of? I mean, this is kind of hilarious for the Rush Limbaughs of the world, but you know, who've been trying to paint this whole, you know, liberal conspiracy. But you know, a Herman Cain aide has said this came from Rick Perry's camp, which, as I said earlier, who would suspect the guy with the N-word head ranch? Not me.
It makes perfect sense. You know, you always look at who benefits. What is it? Motive and opportunity.
Yeah.
Rick Perry has both. He will benefit from what's going to happen here because those voters have to go somewhere. They were with Rick Perry before, and if Rick Perry's ad campaign, which is starting to run now in Iowa, this is
And I said the same thing. I'm like, he seemed pretty giddy and celebratory during that speech.
He did. Again, I think it's an adjustment in the medication, but it doesn't really matter.
Here's my dream come true. Here's my dream come true. Well, you know, number one, really vicious gay hate sex during the next debate with Mitt Romney. But what I'm saying is, how hilarious would this be if so it was Perry's camp, if now Herman Cain's camp finds evidence that he's actually gay, as the rumors in Texas will have it. And then we just have...
These are alleged rumors of... allegedly gay people. And what is
Gawker? Gawker has a great piece today. Beverage that made Rick Perry seem really gay wasn't alcoholic, says his host.
What is Rick Perry's nickname? What did Paul Begala say? They called him Crotch.
Yeah,
that's not gay.
Yeah, that's subtle.
Definitely, I'm stated. It's because he keeps adjusting himself, like his medication.
Yes.
He just keeps adjusting
himself. Yeah, does he adjust his medication or his package more? Who can tell?
You get the finely calibrated Rick Perry.
So, obviously you've seen this Quinnipiac poll that...
I have.
Yeah, that, I mean, obviously shows Herman Cain way ahead, but it's before the scandal. How do you think this plays out, David?
It's funny. I do this every week, and I keep saying, forget about the national polls. They are going to keep doing this. It is like if you were strapped to an EKG 24/7, you'd think at least three times a day you were having a heart attack.
Yeah.
You don't follow these things in real time, because if you do, they fluctuate so wildly they don't mean anything, and particularly not the national polls. The poll to look at right now is Iowa. I was going first on January 3rd. They announced now that New Hampshire is a week later, January 10th. Those two polls are the ones that matter. And if Mitt Romney can, if this field stays divided, if Herman Cain stays in through Iowa, then the conservative vote, Michelle Bachmann, that's all she's got. She's from Iowa. I think she's from where Elvis died.
Where John Wayne Gacy killed him on the toilet.
I think that's right. But the point is, all of those people will split up the conservative vote, which could allow Mitt Romney to do what he wasn't even going to compete in Iowa. And he might be able to squeak out a victory. If he does that, if he wins Iowa, and then
now,
he's way ahead in New Hampshire,
by the way,
things could get locked up.
Again, you've worked these campaigns for a long time. You know, obviously the common wisdom is it came from Romney's camp because of Rove. You know, that Rove is in Romney's camp and that...
I don't think so.
Well, because he's the establishment candidate. They want to hurry up and...
They don't want Herman Cain.
Right, that's what I'm
saying. Exactly my point. That would be commonly bad wisdom. Mitt Romney loves Herman Cain right now. He's ordering pizzas on a daily basis. Keeping Herman Cain in the race is the best thing that can happen to Mitt Romney, because since he can't win the nomination, he can keep Rick Perry from rising back up, who's got the money, who's on the air in Iowa, who has the potential really to go after Mitt Romney in a way that Herman Cain never can.
David, the larger picture in this Quinnipiac poll, Mediaite saying, superficially at least, it seems that the president's message on jobs is hitting the mark, aided in part by the ubiquity of the Occupy Wall Street protests, which have placed issues of income inequality into the pop cultural bloodstream. I think that is true. You know, having been to my first Occupy and seeing the things they're talking about, and you know how it certainly mirrors much more what Obama and the Democrats are talking about than Republicans, right?
Did you bring them Chardonnay?
I did not. I did not. I should have.
I was just picturing you sort of like the Florence Nightingale of the Occupy movement, handing out, you know, small box wine spending the night in the street. The truth is, it is moving the dial. We are seeing it. We saw again last night in Oakland, the police finally, as the port of Oakland was about to be shut down, they came in with tear gas. We're seeing a shift. We're seeing the 99% movement. And that's the phrase to keep using, if I may. If we're talking about how this should be, it started as Occupy, but really what it is 99%.
Yep.
It's the rest of us. And that's people who will never get near a protest, but who need to understand they are connected to it. And what's happening in Oakland, what happened yesterday in Oakland, is what you and I have been talking about now for 6 months or a year, that when the American people decide to say, you know, it's our economic power, if we change banks, which is a movement that's going on this weekend, to get money out of the big banks and move it into credit unions and community banks. If we stop what they did in Oakland yesterday is they didn't use credit cards for purchases, so those fees weren't used. Once those things start rippling, it's not trickling down, it's rippling up, then the economic power the American people have will have an impact. That's more powerful, frankly, in this economy than the vote. And that's how people are voting now. They're voting with their feet. They're voting with their pocketbooks. If they do that, and Stephanie, I think it's happening, then you're right. Then it's not only going to change the equation. The president is on the right side of this. He always has been. And it's time for him to keep saying it in a way that identifies the people who are blocking it. And he's calling them out. He called out John Boehner by name yesterday. He's got to keep doing that. People need to understand.
Well, let's hear that now that David brought that up, for God's sake. Look how good you are.
If the Speaker of the House, the Republican leader in the Senate, all the Democrats, all say that this is important to do, why aren't we doing it? What's holding us back?
Boehner.
Let's get moving. And put America back to work.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he's doing. I mean, he's taking this jobs thing on the road. He's grinding it out, right? I mean, he's making his case to the American people. And like you say, I think the needle is moving.
He's doing it very effectively, and we are able to see in stark relief when the Congress of the United States spends an evening reaffirming that our motto is "In God We Trust." I mean, that's how they're too busy to pass the jobs bill.
Yeah, by the way, I saw that.
I can't get around to that, but we can do the motto.
Yeah, I saw that, and I thought, does this tick people off as much as it does me? Particularly, people are losing their house or been out of work for 2 years or what? I mean, really? Really?
And really, if you think about it, where is the motto? The motto is on every coin and every bill. And in this economy, maybe they do need to reaffirm it because people have no money.
Right.
They can't see the motto because there's nothing in their wallets. Oddly enough, they're performing a public service by pointing out that what they've done through these policies, what Republican policies have effectively done, is to take not only the motto but the money out of the wallets of American workers.
Yep.
And that's what's got to change.
Yep, absolutely. David Bender, delightful as always. We will talk to you next week. I love you.
Love you madly.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. 47 minutes after the hour. All right, well, we'll talk about Herman Cain accuser number 3.
Ooh.
What's behind door number 3? Uh-oh! Right back with that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Public indecency? We weren't really doing it. We were just acting.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hear ye. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Valerie Plame Wilson, our buddy, our pal, yep, our hero, coming up after the top of the hour.
And she has a really good idea to reduce the deficit.
Shallow.
Yeah.
She has a good idea for everything.
I know, right?
Sherry, right? She's totally awesome. Sherry in California. Why am I friends with people that make me even more insecure about myself? Why? Beautiful, brilliant, like Aisha Tyler, like Catherine Cryer. What's wrong with me?
I don't know.
I need to start hanging out with some losers. Sherry in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Sher.
First off, let me just say I enjoyed the show in San Francisco. I saw you that Saturday night. Brilliant. It was brilliant.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
I just also want to say I agree with, I believe that was David Bender.
Yes.
That I agree with him 100%. You know what? Occupy America has been a great thing. And we needed to do this in order for America to wake up and see that we're being taken advantage of. But now I think we need to move our focus to the folks that are really stopping us, and it's our Congress, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're being obstructionists. We all know who are the ones that are causing us not to be able to move forward in this country.
Thank you, Sherry. The president just said it, and I agree with Barney Frank. Mm-hmm. I gotta say, Sherry, I get it that our party isn't perfect. I get it that I get frustrated with Democrats too. But you're absolutely right. The 99% movement. Who have been the people fighting for financial reform, fighting for the interests of the 99%? It's the President Obamas and the Barney Franks and the Democrats largely.
Exactly. And if Congress does not want to wake up, then it's time. They work for us. We should start moving to get them out of office. If they're going to be part of the problem instead of the solution, they need to go.
Right. That's what I've said, Jerry. Vote. Mm-hmm. Get the president some more real Democrats that will vote his stuff through. Largely, our problem has been some of these conservatives. That's why we don't have a public option. It's why, you know, so if you see the energy, Sherry, behind this 99% movement, if those people get out and vote, you know, we can get some actual stuff done for the 99%, right?
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, honey.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a good day.
You too. It's she's happy, crappy. Help me. Okay. Singing a little song. It must be the third Herman Cain woman. I'm a little giddy this morning. On the third full day of the Herman Cain alleged sexual harassment scandal, the AP reports a third woman has come forward to allege the current GOP frontrunner behaved inappropriately when he was the head of the National Restaurant Association in the 90s. She worked for the National Restaurant Association when Cain was its head.
See what you did there.
She told the AP that Cain made sexually suggestive remarks or gestures about the same time the two co-workers had settled separate harassment complaints against him. By the way, Carl Frist said this. This obviously has nothing to do with race. To me, this is one of these typical, you know, CEO guys. These guys that are powerful that think they can treat women however they want. I mean, anyway. The employee described situations in which she and Cain told her that he had confided to colleagues how attractive she was and invited her to his corporate apartment outside of work. She spoke on condition of anonymity, saying she feared retaliation. She said, Chris, you were saying earlier, she didn't want to be Anita Hill.
That's right. And I can't say that I blame her, really.
Because, by the way, I've met Anita Hill and interviewed her. I mean, could she be more credible and smart? And, you know, it really is incredible that you know, you can understand some women going, I don't want to. Because, and right away, who in right-wing world already said sleazy whatever, implying the women are sleazy.
Right.
The women are sleazy, not Herman Cain. I mean, it's the typical.
That was Mike Gallagher that said that.
Yeah. And Herman Cain appears to be losing it. Surrounded by a gaggle of reporters.
Uh-huh.
I love this. He lost his temper. He said, let me say one thing. Don't even bother asking me all these other questions you're curious about, okay? Ask me the questions I want. I don't want to hear yes.
Let me say one thing. I'm here with these doctors, and that's what I'm going to talk about. So don't even bother asking me all of these other questions you all are curious about.
Other questions.
Okay? Don't even bother.
But are you concerned about the fact that these women do want to, wants to come forward? Are you concerned about...
Excuse me!
Rick Ross was the reprimand.
Some people understand.
Some CEOs aren't used to having their behavior questions. Excuse me! I'm the boss!
He needs the info.
Need the info. By the way, I know you love this. He said, here are these doctors. I'm going to talk about that. He didn't talk about that.
No.
He talked for 3 minutes, and he took no questions.
Right.
So he's like, you don't want to answer questions about anything,
right,
not just those questions.
He talked about his poll numbers.
Yeah.
He didn't talk about the doctors.
Yeah. Didn't talk about anything to do with healthcare.
Right.
I'm here to talk about healthcare. Oh, really?
No, you're not.
Yeah.
Liar.
He
says no.
Yeah.
You are a liar.
He didn't talk about healthcare, and then he didn't answer any. I love that. Not these questions. I will give you the questions that I would like to be asked.
Yeah, he's a CEO that is not used to being questioned.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay.
There are factions that are trying to destroy me, personally, as well as this campaign.
Republicans.
But there is a force greater. There's a force at work here that is much greater than those that would try to destroy me and destroy this campaign and this journey to the White House. And that force is called the voice of the people.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Which the voice of the people. We'll see what the next poll shows. We might be saying, ooh.
Ooh, that's skeevy.
Ooh. You're kind of skeevy. That creepy smile might have led me to believe you were skeevy, but now I have evidence that you are, in fact, skeevy. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, we're back with Valerie Plame Wilson and her awesome idea.
Sha.
Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number. Stephanie, phone number. I got it.
What are you doing
nobody,
here?
Nobody help me. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Sexy Liberal.
Pick you up off the floor again.
SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website for all the upcoming dates. Check it out. All right. Wow. Speaking of Sexy Liberal, what, I don't even think she's liberal. She's just awesome.
Yeah.
There's a new ad out, a PSA, because this super committee, which is not so super, in my opinion, thus far, the Valerie Plame and Naomi Watts, who played her in the movie.
That's right. Have Fair
this,
game.
Yeah, have this PSA out.
Hi, I'm Naomi Watts.
And I'm Valerie Plame Wilson.
This fall, our kids start the new school year in the middle of an economic crisis. There are fewer teachers and extracurricular programs and more overcrowding in our schools.
In the face of this global economic crisis, governments around the world are slashing funding for education and the things that really matter to most of us.
Meanwhile, over the next decade, governments will spend $1 trillion on nuclear weapons globally.
We're both mothers, and along with Global Zero, we're urging our government to invest our tax dollars in essential things. Education, jobs, health care, and not in useless, dangerous weapons that belong in the dustbin of history.
So as our leaders figure out how to cut the budget, they need to hear from us. Let's tell them to cut nuclear weapons, not the things we really need, like education. Go to cutnukes.org to sign the petition today.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yay. Speaking of awesome, oh, look, she's here. It's Valerie Plame Wilson. Good morning, Val.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you so much for playing that. It means a lot to me. I asked Naomi to do the PSA, and to eat her bag, she immediately agreed. So I'm very grateful to her.
It's a great ad. Yeah, it's a great ad. You know, I just missed out on that role playing you, but you know, I'm happy for her and the ad, but it's great because you know we've been saying this that you know this the super committee. I mean, to me, thus far, they really do have priorities all screwed up, you know, even before this issue. But you know, this makes such a good point about what our priorities are as a nation, right?
Yes, with Global Zero, they've decided this year, because for obvious reasons, to push the whole economic angle of how much nuclear weapons cost. This country will spend, just this year, $60 billion. And I don't know about you, but I can think, of a couple of places where that $60 billion could be spent otherwise in a society where I want to live. I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and there's never, like many communities, never enough money for the schools. We don't have a full-time school nurse, and the librarian is there
Yep.
part-time. And so multiply that by millions, across the country. And it just, these weapons are no longer useful in the numbers that we have them to our national security. We just cannot, our national policy and the super committee cannot be driven simply by inertia.
Well, don't you find it interesting that, you know, this current, you know, crop of Republican candidates, you know, first of all, they couldn't seem to revere Reagan anymore. And Reagan, as you know, famously wanted zero nukes. I mean, it just the disconnect is startling, isn't it?
Well, it has been said that if Reagan were to run today, he'd be laughed out of the race because he simply wasn't conservative enough. But they just had, interesting enough, the 25th anniversary of the Reykjavik summit. They held at the to celebrate it. They held Global Zero held a very interesting conference just 2 weeks ago at the Reagan Library in Simi Valley, California. And you had guests like Schultz and Baker. You know, these
right.
real hardcore liberals and Kissinger, others that have saw what Reagan saw 25 years ago, a world ultimately free of nuclear weapons. And we can't continue on the path we're going. This is it's just insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I imagine, I don't know if you've watched any of these Republican debates or these candidates, but what do you do when apparently the front runner and the serious candidate is Herman Cain, who's afraid China's going to nuke us? What?
I'll just say that it would be a lot more amusing if so much wasn't at stake. I'm sad for my country. I really want to see two candidates from two different parties, maybe even three, that have really good ideas, competing ideas, a clash of ideas. And, I mean, that is really what's best for our country. Instead, on the right, while it's, you know, it is amusing to sort of see the circus, it's really not good for our country. I'll just guess, well, I've been watching this story. I'm on the road now, so you're kind of force-fed, you know, media stuff, and they're in a feeding frenzy for sure over Cain and how he's, I think it's fair to say he's handled the allegations poorly.
Yes.
You can't be surprised.
You think?
I mean, that comes with the territory. If you're running for president, you got to be prepared for everything to be pulled out of the kitchen cupboard.
Imagine how he'd handle the nuclear football. That would be a fumble there as well, I think. He doesn't seem good under pressure.
No. I mean, I guess he's gotten as far as he had because people didn't know anything about him, and you know, he was perceived as being folksy. In terms of nuclear decision making, it's horrifying, which is one of the key reasons that I just think that because we're all human and the frailties that are attached to that, we should not be trusted with nuclear weapons.
Well,
we have our conventional weapons are more than adequate to kill people. We can do that really great, you know,
right.
very effectively.
Right.
What is it they say
that we have enough nukes to blow up the world? Like, how many times over? Seriously.
Oh, I can't even do that math. I mean, isn't one enough?
Yeah.
Because the truth is, it's just. Think for a moment of the horror of, even if it were just, in quotes there, just a dirty bomb in a U.S. city, I think the clamor from people to know that they were safe, I think we could take our civil liberties and put them on the shelf, and who knows when we would get them back. I was just going to say we've passed the point. We're no longer living in a bipolar world. It has right. changed where it was just the United States and the Soviet Union had the vast preponderance of nuclear weapons, and there was the whole mad mutually assured destruction dogma. But now with the proliferation of nuclear technology and terrorists actively seeking that capacity, the whole calculus has changed, and that's why I talk my friends like Naomi Watts into doing TSAs for Global Zero, which is really a nonpartisan and international group that is making really good headway on knocking some political leaders' heads to say, listen, we need to make progress. Let's go.
Right. Well, you know, and by the way, I know that, you know, you try to sort of, you know, talk about issues and not be partisan, but, you know, I have to get your take, speaking of the Republican candidates, how their reaction to us getting out of Iraq, I mean, has to particularly gall you that they literally have called that the disaster, not the original war, that, you know, that all of their plans, I guess, are to stay in Iraq forever.
Yeah, it's so sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm deeply saddened, not only by the deaths of U.S. servicemen and women in Iraq, but what we know to be certainly over 100,000 Iraqi civilian lives. And I don't think that, you know, for what? And
right.
you see the sectarian, but how long are we going to stay there? And it seems that when President Obama finally put into place the agreement that was achieved under President Bush, that is the withdrawal of troops by the end of the year, all the Republicans said, what?
Right. Right.
You know, what a silly idea. That's just ridiculous. Forgetting, in fact, that it was crafted and forged under President Bush. We our foreign policy, let's face it, for the past decade has had serious flaws, I think is the best way of putting it.
Valerie, isn't it interesting, too, that, you know, President Obama was the one that was said over and over again to be inexperienced in foreign policy and not ready for this and not ready for the 3 a.m. phone, whatever you're going to call it. And, you know, look at Libya, where, you know, Gaddafi is gone without one American boot on the ground or one American life lost.
Exactly. The irony is that he's had tremendous success in foreign policy, from, you know, catching and killing Bin Laden. Iraq to Libya. Except, unfortunately, most American people don't care, really. You know, foreign policy always comes in the last sliver of the pie. And what do you care about when you elect your next president? People are really, particularly right now with the economic situation so dire for millions of Americans.
But that's why I love what you and Naomi Watts have done with this PSA about, you know, cutting nuclear weapons. Yeah, you know, asking the super committee to do that, because that brings it full circle where, you know, it's like Alan Grayson's The War Is Making You Poor Act that he tried to get. You know, it brings it all full circle that it is all connected economically in this country. When you say this is a, yeah.
It's guns and butter. I, you know, not to be too simple about it, but that you make choices about what your society will look like. And I think, unfortunately, our society is increasingly pouring its resources into what President Eisenhower famously called the military-industrial complex.
Right.
But
yeah.
It's true.
Resources
into that.
I'm just saying, you know, I'm an Obama fan, but I'm just saying, Osama bin Laden, those Somali pirates. What are the cost of three bullets? That's what it's cost us so far.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Do we really need another, bomber or something?
And what did I hear, Iraq? Iraq could cost us $3 trillion, couldn't it, is what some economists are saying, you know, in total.
It's astounding. What I liked about the whole PSA, and it makes people think about it in very real terms. Oh, that could be, if you go to cutnukes.org, you can put in various things like how much would one nuke cost, if you cut one nuke, oh, that would finance 400 college scholarships, you know, or some. There's calculations in very real terms. As I understand it with the super committee, though, what happens is if they don't reach agreement, it's like a trick, then they have to cut, they're required to cut $350 billion from the defense budget.
Mm-hmm.
What a stupid way to approach governing.
Yes.
I mean, you want to do it consciously. You want to say, we're doing this because, and this is why it makes sense. It shows the height of dysfunction, I'm sorry to say, in Washington, which is so popular to say today, but true.
Yep.
Our defense budget is bloated, and I'm not going to listen to any Republican until they until they can talk seriously about, you know, we also need to take a look at our defense budget.
Right. It's what the president talked about when he was running. It's a smarter, foreign policy. Not a tough but smart policy, and I think that includes the economic thing. It is at Global Zero's petition. You can sign it at cutnukes.org and watch the PSA on YouTube. Val, it's always such a pleasure, although I always feel so much worse about myself whenever I spend time with you, which is true love.
Letting me speak about this, though. I care deeply, and it's always fun to be on your show.
I always love when you mention that you live in Santa Fe, when I've been to your house and met your adorable twins and eaten your souffle. And so, yes, I'm aware of that.
I'll make you more dinner.
All right.
I'll be happy to.
All right.
Take care.
Valerie Plame Wilson.
Great.
There she goes. Oh, she's a good cook, too.
Yep. Gorgeous.
Yeah, shut up.
Wait, you should see this PSA with Naomi Watts and Valerie Plame Wilson sitting right next to each other. It's like an explosion of beauty.
I don't need anything else to distract him during the show. He already doesn't listen to me, do you, Jim?
Huh? What? Did you say something?
20 minutes after the hour.
By the way, about Herman Cain and China nukes, China's had nukes for a long time. Herman Cain didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah. They don't need to. They're just going to destroy us financially. Why would they need to nuke us? They can just call in the markers and then... Whee! Okay, 20 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, what is this mess?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
A man-eater?
No, I can't have it for breakfast. I can't have man for lunch.
No?
Yeah.
I thought you had a man waiting for you.
I had a really heavy lunch in the 90s. I'm done. All right, 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Heavy?
I don't know what you're talking about. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free.
Lord.
1-800. I did have a very large boyfriend in college. He was 6'5". He was a shot putter. That's all my dad ever said about him. Damn, he's big. God, he's big.
What did you see in him?
I don't know. I liked him.
He made you laugh.
He wasn't Chris Christie big. He was muscly big. You know, like you, Chris.
Well, I'm not 6'5".
Except he wasn't roided out like you.
Oh, stop it.
All right. What? Oh, by the way, somebody just wrote on the live blog after we had Valerie Plame Wilson on that our blondes are better than their blondes. That's
right.
True. Ha ha, Ann Coulter.
I mean, this PSA with the both of them sitting right next to each other.
Damn. Oof.
It's posted up on your Facebook page and on your Google Plus page, right. Stephanie.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Did you see that? Donald Trump and Ann Coulter, it's just amazing, right? The people you know are going to play the race card when even Herman Cain's campaign, Jim said it came from Rick Perry's camp.
Yeah.
It's like,
Yeah. Most likely.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Who would have suspected that? Mark Block, but in fact...
Cigarette-smoking man.
Creepy, smoky guy. Uh-huh.
The actions of the Perry campaign are despicable. Rick Perry and his campaign owe Herman Cain and his family an apology. Both the Rick Perry campaign and political did the wrong thing by reporting something that wasn't true from anonymous sources.
He sounds like Nathan Thurm.
He does, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's him. It's not me.
Yeah.
Right?
They did it. It wasn't us.
First of all, they reported something that was true.
Yeah.
You settled sexual harassment claims.
Yes.
But what? What do you mean it wasn't true? Oh, dear God.
It was anonymous sources who had sexually harassed and paid off. What?
Oh, boy.
I can't talk about the anonymous sources.
Yeah, Ann Coulter, of course, made the rounds defending Cain against the allegation and said our blacks are so much better than their blacks.
We played that yesterday.
What a nitwit.
She said when Michael Steele was running for Senate, liberals showed up and rolled Oreos down the aisles at him.
No, they did not.
That is a lie.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
A well-defunct lie about the Oreos. She said the only racism you hear is against conservative blacks, and it's vicious.
Uh-huh.
Oh, really? There's never been anything racist against the president. Like, oh, maybe a picture of him as a zombie with a bullet hole through his head from a Republican committee.
Or a bone through his nose.
That's right.
Please.
Coke suckers.
Exactly. All right. Donald Trump's thoughts on the whole thing as well. Because
Donald Trump has thoughts?
Mm,
wow.
Apparently. Hey. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I've had a very rough 37 years, and I need a break.
I've been on break since then. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Mark in St. Paul on Herman Cain. Hey, Mark.
Good morning, Steph.
Good morning,
Mooks.
Good morning.
I got to tell you, you're talking about Cain's campaign and everything. I'm watching a clip on Olbermann last night, and Mike Block, when he's making his statement, is looking like he's shuffling his note cards to try and find his place.
Yes.
It was the ineptitude is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
He was very sweaty, very nervous.
I wonder if he used those note cards when he gave Herman Cain the original bad advice on how to handle this.
Probably, and he was jonesing for a cigarette. You could tell that as well.
Yeah, he is.
I'm actually smoking a cigarette as we speak.
Yeah, he is Nathan Thurm, whatever the character is. Yeah, exactly.
It's not him. It's me.
It's me. I mean, it's him.
It's not me. It's him.
Right?
What?
Huh? Carson in Chicago. Hi, Carson.
I know that.
Hi, Seth.
Hi, Carson.
I just wanted to point out that at the very end of that soundbite that you played of Herman Cain with the reporters yesterday, that he says at the very end, he says, some people just don't understand that no means no.
Unintentionally hilarious. All right. Thank you, Carson. By the way, someone mentioned this yesterday, Jim. So we had a right-wing caller that called Jim racist for his dead-on Herman Cain impression.
That's right.
And we're like, that's an impressionist. You just...
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, he's like, you wouldn't do that to President Obama? And Jim's well, because he doesn't sound like...
he doesn't sound like the voice, the way his voice sounds.
And, yeah.
Jim does Obama as Obama.
My God, Donald Trump is just so pathetic trying to get... So he, of course, jumped into the fray here. He said that John Stewart got away with a very, very racist rant.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. He Stewart noted that everything in the former Godfather pizza chain's past sounds dirty. You want sausage on your pie, Stewart said, mimicking an Italian pizza shop. Later in the segment, he mocked a clip in which Cain said his favorite ice cream flavor is black walnut. Stewart noted, it just sounds really dirty now. Hey, stop looking at my black walnuts. I mean, come on. Herman Cain is the one that said, I'm black walnut flavor or whatever. Yep. Anyway, Trump said it's not what he said, the way he said it, the tone of his voice, the inflection. Unbelievable. Anybody else? Deep, deep trouble.
You know, Jews will do that. They're huge racists.
Jim Louise Ward.
That's in my experience, as...
Oh, boy. All right.
Hey, he's such a joke.
Yeah. All right. So, Joel Bennett is the Herman Cain's... The woman that settled the...
Right.
He is her lawyer.
Right.
Yeah.
Naturally, she's been very upset about all this since the story broke last Sunday, because Mr. Cain has been giving the impression that she's someone who came out and made false allegations and said certainly not true.
By the way, Gawker points out, I love the... this brings out all the other, right-wing sexist pigs. The National Review guy explains how sexual harassment isn't a real thing.
Oh, really?
You see that? What's his name? Derbyshire. John.
Derbyshire.
Derbyshire, whatever his name is. He eliminates sexual harassment and racial discrimination as actual real-world things.
Oh.
He writes, is there anyone who thinks sexual harassment is a real thing?
Well, yeah.
Women who've been harassed, yes.
Yes, uh-huh. Is there anyone who doesn't know it's all a lawyer's ramp, racial discrimination? Which he puts in quotes, which apparently has never happened.
Oh, okay. So-called racial discrimination.
Yeah,
so-called slavery.
Yeah, so-called Palestinians.
You pay a girl a compliment nowadays, and she runs off and gets lawyered up. Is this any way to live?
What?
Oh, John.
What?
Paying a compliment and grabbing her.
Yeah.
That's a compliment?
Oh, boy.
From someone as skeevy as Herman Cain?
Yeah.
No. Don't think so.
No. Okay, Newt Gingrich on this
one. It turns out that a Republican presidential candidate deliberately went out and created this kind of a story about a fellow candidate that they would pretty rapidly become a pariah among the rest of us, and they'd better fire the people who did it.
Yeah. Frankly, if anyone brings up anybody's salacious past, frankly, that would be...
Peccadillo, so I think that's it's a racist attack against me, frankly.
Frankly, anyone brings up, serial adultering and things like that, that would frankly be out of bounds.
Frankly.
Okay, Michelle Bachmann.
This is the year when we can't have any surprises with our candidate.
Oh.
That's right, Marcus.
Marcus.
So let's make sure.
I'm super. Whatever
happens in the Minneapolis Airport's men's bathroom stays there.
I'm feeling super. Nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're comfortable.
Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Yeah, so stay in that closet.
Marcus jumps out of a cake.
Surprise!
Red chaps.
Yeah, we certainly hate to nominate anybody that might have anything surprising.
Assless chaps on a leather harness.
You know what? You're bastard people. Whatever you're implying about...
You need to be disciplined.
Michelle Bachmann's stylist husband.
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people.
Oh, golly.
Barbarians and bastard people.
Exactly. Art in Chicago. Hi, Art.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, sir.
You know, I know it had to be a Republican to leak that information.
Uh-huh.
Because the Democrats are smart enough to leave it until August of next year.
Yes.
So we know it's a Republican. Okay.
Right. Yes.
All right, number two. It hit too soon because he's got a symphony vote yesterday. See, I belong to the AARP chapter here in South Chicago.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I got my card.
And we collected $300 for him after the meeting. Not during the meeting, after the meeting.
Okay.
We got $300 because he's getting...
So you're for sexual harassment.
Getting sympathy from a lot of people, even my veterans.
Is this a dirty old man segment of AARP?
No. Just... See, who made these claims? What's her name? Who are these people? Is it
She's not allowed to say.
She's not allowed to say because
she
got a year's salary to not talk about this.
So what? We don't know why she got it, do we?
Yes, because because she was sexually harassed by Herman Cain.
Yes. She was paid to make this problem go away.
So
he paid her for something she
didn't
do? So not to talk about something that didn't happen?
Hey, come on, don't.
Would you give a woman a year's salary that worked for you if you didn't do anything?
I'm not a professional talker, okay? I'm not a professional like you are. All I got is brains to think. This woman, I can say right now, Obama did this, that, and the other, and I keep anonymous. Mm-hmm. The papers pick it up.
Yes, but nobody has ever accused Barack Obama of sexual harassment.
I know that.
I know you are.
And
where am I?
Nobody accused him either. Nobody accused him. It's all allegations. No.
It's not allegations. It's an actual financial settlement. That's different than an allegation.
Name me the lady that got the financial settlement.
She got a settlement so she can't be named. That's why she's anonymous.
Right. Isn't that nice, huh?
Yes. Well, Herman Cain could make her anonymity go away if he just lifted the... All he needs to do is lift the gag order and she can talk.
He's going to get the sympathy vote. I'm telling you, no matter how you play it, this was played too soon.
All right. Well, good. Have fun with your President Cain.
Yes. I paid her your salary so she wouldn't talk about all the stuff that did not happen.
Gladys, I did it again.
Gladys and Art.
I got her.
That was the best one yet.
She's anonymous because she's hiding because she doesn't want anyone to know. All the...
Wow. Boy. Wow. Who would have thought he was a member of AARP?
My cracky. Okay.
He goes to meetings.
Gotcha. Can I just say I love him more every time he calls? I really do. I just...
He's not a professional talker.
He always has that scornful little laugh at me. He's...
He's not a professional talker like you, little lady.
Not a professional talker, but I got brains at work.
Yes, but he's unencumbered by facts.
All right.
So wait a minute.
He actually said, was that Lore, Stephanie Miller Show Lore? Did he actually say bye cracky to me once?
I don't think so.
I think he did.
Did he? No.
Young lady, bye cracky.
Bye cracky? I think he was mocking us, mocking him.
Yeah.
It all gets so confusing. All right.
So it sounds like the kind of man that would say bye cracky.
So what's his point is that none of this stuff happened. It was a lie and
she
got him to pay
anonymous and therefore
all that
invisible.
Money. To not talk about the stuff that didn't happen.
She's not an anonymous source. She's a source that is known to, obviously, her attorney and Politico, but that is not allowed to talk publicly because of the settlement. So
Herman Cain is handing out piles of cash to people who don't do anything to him?
Yes.
Sign me up?
Yeah.
Wow. Hello.
Hey,
and you know me,
much?
I don't even care about sexual harassment. I ask for it.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to be sexually harassed by him and then pretend I'm offended.
How much money would I have to pay you not to talk about something that I never did?
Hmm.
I don't know. Is it a lot, though?
It seems like a pretty good deal to me.
Let me consult with my lawyer. Let me consult with Art. Okay.
Well, he's got a brain.
Here's a shocking story. Fox Straight News program doesn't allow any progressives to question Herman Cain. It's the Straight News Show, the special report. So, you know, it's not...
Brett Baer. That's Brett Baer.
It's a very special report.
Yeah, it's not biased in any way.
No,
it's
not at
reporting
all.
Reporting right up the middle. So they had a panel that interviewed Herman Cain. No progressives on the panel at all.
Just one.
The two conservatives, one journalist, no progressives. Charles Krauthammer. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure that was a... Here was his question. He said, he mentioned Clarence Thomas and said, do you think that race and being a strong black conservative had anything to do with the fact that you've been so charged? And if so, do you have any evidence to support that? Cain responded, I believe the answer is yes, but we do not have any evidence to support it. Like most things he says, he has no facts or evidence of any kind.
Oh, boy.
I'm just going to say it anyway.
And he's the GOP front runner.
Uh-huh. By the way, I guess Charles Krauthammer didn't get the note that, that Herman Cain's campaign is blaming Rick Perry. So
no.
I guess it really wouldn't have anything to do with. Okay. So, and he also went on to say, Cain said, relative to the left, I believe race is a bigger driving factor. I don't think it's a driving factor on the right. This is just based on our speculation. I just pulled that firstly from my ass. With no one, no progressives on the panel, there was no one present to challenge Cain on his claim about the left
convenient.
And race. Yes, conveniently, there was no one there to have any dissent of any kind. Larry in Columbus on Herman Cain. Hi, Larry.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
You know, I enjoy your show, even though I agree with zero of what you talk about.
Awesome.
I mean, in this particular case, somebody is an executive. They get people that are hold-up artists that can accuse them of anything.
Mm.
So what happens is the organization says instead
well, how
of
come every CEO hasn't settled multiple sexual harassment claims then?
Well, wait a minute. You don't know what's multiple. You don't know any facts because people settle them for one reason. So that
he has confirmed that there were settlements. He has confirmed there were settlements for two women.
Yeah. He has not confirmed any details of those. And when you sign
so
those,
he's confirmed
that they
exist.
Wait a
minute. Wait a minute. When you sign those agreements, you're doing it so you don't go through a lawsuit because lawsuits are draining mentally. They're draining economically. And you get
again. I ask,
them.
How come every CEO hasn't been accused of sexual harassment and settled lawsuits?
You'd be surprised at what anybody who owns a small business or a large business gets. Gets you have people that come in.
So everyone
that,
has
Mitt
that
Romney. Mitt Romney has run a lot of businesses.
So everyone pays settlements to.
They
to
game women. The system. And you have people that come in, workers' comp claims. They come in with fake. I'm 8 months pregnant. You didn't know this. Why didn't you hire me? You get it all the time. What the lawyer?
I'm not saying there
you.
Isn't that, but are you saying that every claim is bogus?
No, absolutely not. No, no. I did not say that. I say most of those claims are hold-up artists that people look in the game.
But what do you base that on? Most of those claims.
Where's
that study?
I've done this a long, long time, and I've seen. I'm a very a very positive person. I've seen the dregs of the earth come in and game the system. Once they think there's money there, people go after it. And besides, we're talking sexual harassment. What does that mean in this context?
Do you hear about most CEOs that have multiple sexual harassment claims that have been settled for a year's salary?
That does not mean they're true. Did he knock up somebody that then get her pregnant while his wife is having cancer?
A full year's salary is very unusual for a settlement in this kind of case.
Not for an executive of that stature. It is not unusual because a full year's salary might be $30,000 and a lawsuit might be $200,000 and you might lose the lawsuit.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a possibility. You get a hearing and they could say anything.
All right.
So there's no point in going after sexual.
No, not at all.
Those are clearly all false.
Yeah. Because it's all the chick. It's the dame's fault.
Lying chicks. Can't trust them.
No.
Lying to hire them.
Those workplace injury lawsuits. Crazy bastards. Yeah, meat cleaver ended up in my skull. Yeah. You're gaming the system again. There you go.
You're just clumsy.
You just tripped and Herman Cain's hand went up your skirt.
Yeah.
It's
your own damn fault.
You clumsy oaf. All right, 47 minutes after
Dames,
the hour.
Can't live with
Dames.
Them, can't hire them.
Dames are clumsy.
Can't pay them off with a year's salary.
Can barely stand up straight on those pins.
On those gorgeous pins of yours.
47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Would that be sexual harassment if I were to say, get laid, get... No? 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from any... It's in the song!
No, it's not. It's actually not in the song.
All right,
it's what you shout during the song.
All right, lawyer up, boys. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Lisa in Rockville, Maryland. Hey, Lisa, welcome.
Good to talk to you. I just wanted to say, you know, I get the sense that, like, that guy Larry just called and your boyfriend Art, they don't understand what sexual harassment means. This is not about sex. This is about power.
Right.
Thank you.
Can we go home now? I mean,
Lisa, that's what I said.
Your position to... You know, to make someone else feel small. That's why this is a problem.
Yes, and that's what I was saying. This is not a racial thing. It's a power thing. It's
that
CEO guy that, you know, thinks...
You're just a hold-up artist.
There you go. Harassment is not about sex. It's about power. Rape is not about sex. It's about violence.
Yep.
You are clearly a sleazy scam artist gaming the system.
Oh, unbelievable. Hey, Mama, come to D.C. Please, 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 aww, please, please. We love you.
Aww, all right, honey. Well, I get some sexy liberal elves working on that. Thank you, honey.
Thank you,
ma'am. We probably get the most requests from D.C.
She's zippy.
Yeah.
She's like a little cheerleader for sexy liberal. You might have to get on that. I know, we do. Yeah, things have popped up magically on my paper calendar I had no idea about.
Apparently, an email went out about a major metropolitan area in the Midwest this morning.
Hmm.
Really? Mm-hmm. That the sexy liberal is coming back
return. Yes! Yes, that's big. Okay. Hmm.
So you know about this one?
Well, you know it depends on what time of the day I get the phone call or the email. Yeah. As to whether I have any memory of it.
I know. I saw that firsthand on
what
Sunday.
Chris has to replay our entire conversation in the morning.
Yeah.
Wade in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. You guys make driving to work so much fun. Although I parked, I just wanted to pound my head on the steering column. Those last two callers, what don't they understand about settlement? The only reason corporations do this is because they know if it goes to litigation or if it goes before a jury, they lose, and then they can lose everything
at it.
Don't you guys get it? And who justifies that? It's those kind of Republicans that make me say if Cain said to them, go home, slap your wife in the stomach, punch your kid in the throat, and boot kick your dog, they do it blindly. It's like they don't think. I'm like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Do you really have to
to make a statement like most of these claims are bogus. Yeah. I mean, of course there are some bogus claims, but it's like, what?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, how they correlate that, how they bring that together to me, it just makes me say, are you kidding me? Come on, guys. Just say it. Hey, the guy was guilty. I support him still, but he's wrong for what. Have they watched him on television? He's changed his tune every time he talks.
I know. Wait, that's the thing. It's like, you can watch that someone on TV and just kind of go, okay, guilty. I mean, come on. That's not how an innocent person acts. It just isn't.
Right.
You don't change a story 16 times and, get that defensive.
No, he was like a kid with his hand caught in the cookie jar, and mom
walks in. 999 times.
He did. He changed it 999 times.
Yeah.
Let's go to Brian in Washington State. Hey, Brian, welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I was calling about Herman, and this position of, these women are hiding something. Well, these settlements, aren't they typically protecting the employer from the standpoint of saying, and nobody can talk about this? You know what? If he's innocent and they want these names, just come out and say, we release you from that part of the settlement.
Brian, he said, I would like to face my accusers, these anonymous sources that are smearing me. It's like, okay, then you know what? Let her go on TV and we can judge as to whether we think she's being truthful. Mm-hmm. I think people have judged Herman Cain and said he does not seem like he's being truthful, so that's what that's all about. Jessica in Phoenix has been sexually harassed. Hello, Jess.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you, Mama.
Yeah.
I'm so sick. I haven't been sexually assaulted or harassed by a boss. I was actually by a coworker. But to actually have somebody stand up who is in the running for President of the United States and say what they're saying, it's so incredibly offensive to anyone who's been assaulted, like I have, or been harassed, like I have. It's ridiculous. I actually had a police officer tell me, well, maybe she asked for it. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The men who sit there and say that, I'm sorry, you're just as guilty as the men who did it if you say that.
Jess, did you file a claim report it?
Well, I have. When I was sexually harassed at work, I reported it, and the gentleman was let go. I wouldn't call him a gentleman, but I'm being a lady here. But I was also sexually assaulted, and at which I reported to the police when it happened, of which I heard the police saying, well, maybe she asked for it because it was a coworker who said.
Yeah, yeah. It's back to like the 70s. It's like, oh, maybe she wore a short skirt to work. It's like,
yeah.
What?
Even if you wore a short skirt, you have a right as a woman in this day and age to wear what you want and not have the stress of seeing somebody look at you like that or even make advances or sexually assault you.
Yep.
You have that right as a woman.
Yep.
You have that right as a human being. And this is totally uncalled for him to sit there and say, the other gentleman, the older gentleman, well, he's getting a sympathy vote. Yep. Are you kidding me?
Yep, I hear you, honey. Listen, that's why I've always been ahead of my time, as you guys know. I dress sluttily, and then I preemptively sexually harass you before you can do it to me.
It's hard to dress sluttily in Uggs, Stephanie.
Well, for sexy liberals, see, I sexually assault the audience. Yeah. I dress sluttily, and then I'm preemptive.
Sure.
It's a preemptive strike. Preemptive slut strike.
Uh-huh.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Tomorrow, former and future Congressman Alan Grayson, and Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang.
Absolutely.
Yee-hoo. Speaking of sexy liberals, kids, Austin up next. Next Saturday, November 12th at the Long Center. Get it. Go to sexyliberal.com. Get your tickets. They're going fast. And then Mama's Big Hometown Show.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Buffalo, your native daughter, Stephanie Miller, is coming home to upstate New York, and she's bringing her sexy liberal friends.
Homeward bound, I wish I was.
So tell me, Mama, why make Buffalo's biggest cookie?
On November 19th at Shea's Performing Arts Center, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming home. And she's bringing her sexy siblings, John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks. Whether you're coming from North Tonawanda, Cheektowaga, or anywhere else, just jump on the transit and come see Mama. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at Shea's Performing Arts Center on November 19th in Buffalo, New York. You can take the gal out of Buffalo, but you can't take Buffalo out of the gal.
Ow. All right. Thank you, kids. Oh, I've come a long way. I used to answer the phone at Yuck Yucks on Hurdle Avenue. I remember I used to answer my home phone like that for years. Yuck
Hurdle?
Yucks. Yuck Yucks, can I help you?
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And now it's playing Chase, everybody. Mama's home. And I think I may have my rose moment there. That may be Yeah, I think in the beginning of that song on the soundtrack, you hear someone yell, get a doctor! Somebody get a doctor!
What's with my liver?
All right. Speaking of sappy old songs, Chris and Yankton, sadly, because we were talking about the Gloria song, because Herman Cain's wife, Gloria, her wife of 43 years, Gloria. Sadly, Chris had a Billboard chart that explained, because he knew for some reason, 1982, was it?
Yeah.
It was the number 9 song in the country. Guess what else was on the, I think it was number 5? Physical, Olivia Newton-John.
That came out in 1981.
Okay, well. Guys, regarding the 80s Billboard charts, I have the book, Joel Whitburn's Billboard Hot 100 Charts, the 80s edition. It has a copy of every Hot 100 chart from the 80s. The sadness that is my life is almost overwhelming. Chris and Yankton, that is very sad. Yeah, any year we mention, he just has the chart and can tell us what songs.
Wow. You know what? There was a time where I used to know all of that as well, so kind of sad. Being a radio geek in my bedroom.
What year were the Rembrandts big?
Yeah. Oh, the Rembrandts? They were big in 95.
Yeah,
94,
I have,
95.
Because of
Friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know who wrote that. Allie Willis, my friend, wrote the theme song for Friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I have music DJ savant disease. I'll hit a song and I know exactly.
I know everything there is to know about country music from the years of 1992
that's
to 1997.
Even sadder.
Wow. Well, that's because...
Do you know how many times I said they ain't related, but they do be brothers?
I know, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy.
All right. Listen, kids, we have important things to discuss, and we have important people to discuss them
with.
Representative John Garamendi joins us from the great state of California. Good morning, Congressman.
Hi, Stephanie. I can't answer all the questions that you just posed here.
You don't know what song was number 1? 1983?
No.
All right.
No, no, I don't.
Well, then what good are you? You're only fighting for American jobs. I mean, really.
That's it. We just want to put people to work. But no, I can't tell you what the number one song was in September of 1983.
But Congressman, we were talking earlier that I think you probably heard this new Quinnipiac poll. Has the president really coming up? I think it's 6 points or so. You know, it seems like him taking the American Jobs Act to the people is starting to have an effect. I think also powered by this the Occupy movement that is talking about some of the same issues.
No, you're exactly right. The American public has had it. They don't like what's going on. They don't like what Wall Street did to them and continues to do to them. The extraordinary divergence of wealth in this nation, from the working men and women, the middle class going down and the super wealthy going up, tax policies on their mind, Wall Street screwing them over and over and over again, and the mortgage issues. So the public has had it, and the president's jobs bill, the American Jobs Act, really, really can work.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sitting here right outside the Capitol right now, and I'm going, hey, you guys actually, on the Republican side, you're actually going to get a message here. Let's put people to work. And, by the way, we can pay for it by a fair tax. You know, those that are making $1 million, why don't they pay a surcharge so that the rest of the American can go to work?
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, and I take a listen. The president really, you know, calling Congress out. This is yesterday.
Congress tells you they don't have time. They've got time to do it. We've been in the House of Representatives. What have you guys been debating, John?
Okay.
You've been debating a commemorative coin for baseball. You had legislation reaffirming that "In God We Trust" is our motto. That's not putting people back to work. I trust in God, but God wants to see us help ourselves by putting people back to work.
I mean, you know, and meanwhile, Chris, which Republican is it that said, oh, the reason they did the "In God They Trust" was a message to the president?
It was Price, Representative Price.
Representative Price, sort of implying the president, once again, you know, not really a Christian or believe in the right God or whatever they were.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what they're spending time doing.
I got to tell you, by the end of yesterday, I was so mad that here we are talking about things that are of, you know, no importance. Nobody's going to get a job by reaffirming that "In God We Trust." That was actually done 40 years ago. It's been the law for 40 years. Fine. What do we need to do it again for when we really need to put people to work? Veterans Day comes up 1 week from today. The American Jobs Act provides a very powerful incentive for businesses to hire veterans. I was on the floor arguing this point yesterday. A business, your radio station, hiring a veteran can reduce its taxes by $5,600 for each veteran they hire, and there's 877,000 veterans that are unemployed. These are the men and women that have been out there protecting us and fighting these wars. Well, let's put them to work. If you happen to be a wounded veteran, $9,600 reduction in taxes for every business that hires those people. And yet, Mr. Boehner and the Republicans refuse to bring that bill up so that we can put veterans to work. And I'll guarantee you, 1 week from now, they're going to be at a veterans parade, mm-hmm. pounding their chest and saying nice things about veterans.
Thank you. And, Congressman, you're also working on something important. You're joining congressional leaders urging the supercommittee to end subsidies for big oil. I just did a story yesterday that, I mean, it really, the word obscene is not enough for the profits that the big five oil companies are going to make this year while getting government subsidies. Nobody has still ever explained to me why they need, you know, government subsidies.
Well, they don't. The subsidies began in 1916 to encourage the development of the oil and gas industry. Fine, it worked, created the most profitable industry in the world. They don't need a subsidy. After a century, they do not need a subsidy, and it's $12 billion a year. Pieces of it, the big five probably get $5 billion of your tax money, my tax money, to add to the extraordinary ripoff that they're creating right now across the world.
This is all part of this 99% movement.
And polluting the environment while they're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, this is all part of the 99% movement, don't you think? Like, we're paying at the gas pump, and they're getting bailed out. They're getting government help. I mean, it just,
well,
you know.
They're getting, not government help. It's your tax money.
Right.
You're giving not only at the pump, you're getting ripped off at the pump. You're also, your tax money is just a little bit of additional money for them. And keep in mind that the executives at these, the CEOs at these oil companies are making 300% more. That's 300 times, excuse me, not percent, 300 times more than the machinist that's working for them.
Yeah, yeah.
This is ridiculous. And they have a continuing tax break so that their capital gains is taxed at 15%. And they also have the Bush tax cut that continues on. And what the president is saying with his American Jobs Act is, well, wait a minute, it's simply not fair. If you're making that much money, that's more than $1 million adjusted gross income. This is after all the deductions. Then you ought to pay a surcharge of an additional 5%, which puts you back to the rate that you had prior to the George W. Bush administration.
Yep, absolutely. Representative John Garamendi, always great to talk to you, and thanks for, you know, fighting on these important issues for us. We appreciate it.
Well, here's to the 99ers.
Yep, that's
absolutely.
Keep the protest going.
That's right. All right, Representative John Garamendi, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All
Bye-bye.
Right, there he goes. My home slice.
Yep.
Home state, California. Uh-huh. All right. Lots more people have some thoughts on Herman Cain, surprisingly enough. Marie in Albuquerque. Hi, Marie.
Hi. I'm really glad to be speaking with you. My blood is boiling. These gentlemen don't have a clue what it's like to be a woman in the workplace.
Yep.
I have four sisters, and during the Anita Hill hearings, my father said to the five of us, well, that's never happened to any of you. And we all looked at him like, are you nuts? And then proceeded to describe different things that had happened in our career. He was sitting there with his mouth hanging open.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys don't have a clue. They have their heads in the sand, and they think that when they're patting somebody on the rear that they're being cute and they're being nice, not that it's insulting,
mm-hmm.
because they certainly wouldn't do it to the guys.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Thank you, Marie. All right, 17 minutes after the hour.
Well, I think Marcus Bachman might, but that's
that's a whole different...
Jim Louise.
That's a horse of a different color.
Altogether. Mm-hmm. All right. What?
Don't say it altogether.
All right. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Patricia in San Diego on the Herman Cain unpleasantness. Hello, Patricia.
Hi. I'll try and stay calm. I am at a point of high blood pressure right now listening to these guys claim that women always make it up.
Yeah, right.
I started working at 16, and the manager had his hands all over me. The day I pushed his hands off of me, I got fired from the job.
Oh, you're just a hold-up artist.
I had another job where I would dress not pleasantly, and he said, and the guy, I was babysitting the kid's father said, you know, you'd be sexy in a burlap sack, and came on to me. I mean, I've even went to job interviews where the guy said, if you don't have sex with me, I'm not going to hire you.
Wow.
So I don't want them to tell
That's
me
subtle.
That there is no sexual harassment out there and that women are making it up, because I have been through it, and I only work for women now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, that could go awry, too.
Yeah.
But
I haven't had that problem.
All right,
I work in a job where I don't have contact with a lot of people, and it works fine for me. But I'll tell you, when these guys tell me that women are making it up and that we're just imagining things, it just makes my hair stand on.
I know. I hear you. All right. Thank you, Patricia.
Yeah, Jim and I work for a woman.
Exactly.
Jeez.
I was going to say, because you haven't worked for me.
Yeah.
Everybody gets it around here. All right. And I work around as few people as possible. I'm not even. It's not even like
that's
daytime.
That's why you have to go to meeting.
It's not even daytime yet. There's only the three, and I sexually harass Rebecca on my way out.
That's right.
Well, who doesn't? Really?
Yeah. All right.
Hey, Dame, nice pins. Yeah. Huh?
Leslie in Asheville, North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. It's my birthday today.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
All right.
It's my personal national holiday. I'm wearing a tiara.
Oh, you are? Good for you. Good for you.
Birthday.
Don't worry. People won't think you're crazy.
Yes, they do.
Goodbye,
I just wanted to tell you that I adore you.
Oh, thank you.
And that I also really hope that Herman Cain stays in the race for a little while longer because it's fun to laugh at him.
It is fun. It is fun.
Nomination.
I know. I said I need him on that comedy wall. I want him. Why would they ever think it would be a liberal to try to leak this story? For God's sakes.
Not yet.
What did Velvet Reclaim call it this morning? The circus. You know, if it weren't so sad, watching the circus. It reminds me of that old, what's the song? Don't Cry Out Loud. Baby cried the day the circus came to town. It is sad. Mm-hmm. It is both funny and sad. She was saying the circus would be funnier if it weren't so sad, if they weren't such an incredible bunch of boobs. Let's go to a...
It's a circus full of elephants.
Mm-hmm. I love this song.
Why?
Who sang this?
I have no idea. Oh, this is awful.
Sad for America. It is sad.
Melissa Manchester.
Yes.
Oh, she didn't want parades just passing by her.
Hey, Chris and Yankton, when was this number one?
And now,
Bad Yankee.
Why?
This should be the theme song of the Republican field in 2012. Don't cry out loud, Republicans. You'll probably have a more ridiculous field, maybe probably even next time. Don't cry. Don't cry out loud.
Sorry,
keep it inside.
The song was number 999 with a bullet.
Learn how to hide your feelings. I know. I know. You're represented by...
Don't cry out loud.
Oh, God. This is you, Republicans. Michelle Bachmann, Herman Cain, Donald Trump.
Learn how to hide
really.
Your feelings.
Suck it up, Republicans. Don't be victims. This is who you picked. This is what you have brought. This clown, this insane clown posse. This clown car full of crazies. This is your circus.
So basically this song was telling you to stuff your feelings way down deep inside.
Yes.
Yes, like a little husky boy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Too close to home?
Yeah, a little too much frosting in a can when I was a kid.
Like the world's meanest boss.
Oh.
Eric in Chicago. You're on the office bitch of the week. Hello, Eric in Chicago.
Good morning, Mama.
Yes. Hello, go ahead, Eric.
Actually, I think that Herman Cain leaked this himself.
Really?
I think he looked around and said, crap, I'm in the lead. I just wanted to sell my book and be a Fox News contributor.
Right.
I just wanted to hawk more crappy pizza. Damn! What's happening now? I don't want to actually do this. This is a lot of pressure. Carl in Asheville, North Carolina. Hello, Carl.
Hey, how you going? How
Good.
You doing today?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, listen, you remember when the Herman Cain thing first broke, and they were saying that it was the liberal media and the Democrats and this, that, and the other, and that's all you heard over at Fox was... Mm-hmm. It's a lynching. It's the 21st lynching.
Sure.
It's the 21st century lynching. That's on every show.
Yeah, they now had. They're not mentioning that, that it's
now
the guy that has the N-word head ranch.
N-word rock. On the yep. N-word rock. Yeah. Now you don't hear them say anything about lynching. And here's another tidbit for you about the racist Republican Party of America. As soon as one of those young ladies turn out to be white, they're going to herald forward him immediately.
Yeah. Yep.
You remember what happened with Harold Ford during the Senate race here in Tennessee?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Representative Jim McDermott next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We've got to keep up our strength for the fight against evil.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
And I gotta say, talking to all my exes made me realize how happy I am I stopped drinking tequila.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Representative Jim McDermott of the great state of Washington joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I heard you had a lively Facebook town hall the other night talking about the Occupy movement and all that.
Yep, we've had good success in having
contact with people using the internet. I mean, we had probably 150 people on almost for an hour asking questions, and I found it was fun to do. It's hard when you don't see people's face, but on the other hand, it was a great way to get to know
people. Well, you said, people asked if you think it's a good idea, the Occupy movement. You said it's a good idea. It's important for Americans to get off the couch, get out on the streets, start talking about what's bugging them. I mean, this is democracy, isn't it?
Yep. That's what's I think people are kind of tending to blow it off, like maybe it doesn't mean anything. But when I go out and look at the crowd, what I see are an awful lot of people who look like middle-class Americans who are saying to themselves, you know something, I got to get up and do something here because this is not right and it's going to get worse. And my view is that the Congress and people should be paying a very close attention to what's going on out in the street today.
I think the other thing, somebody was saying that it's already been a success because it at least has changed the dialogue away from just talking about the deficit to, I think, the more important issues, right, of unemployment and economic disparity that's going on in this country.
Yes, I think that the 99-1 scenario, the bumper strip that comes out of that is, I think, an important way to coalesce all the feelings that people have about what's wrong. Everybody has now figured out that there's 1% of Americans who are doing just fine. And since 1970, they've increased by 275% in their income, while the rest of us, the average increase for the other 99% is down 2-3% over the last 30 years. Now, this 99-1 business has now, people have got a way to understand it. Always complicated things like this are tough. And so it's really kind of exciting to see that evolve out of what's going on out there.
Well, and I think you've seen the latest polling that the president's numbers are up. I think taking this Jobs Act to the American people, and forcing Republicans to talk about why they're not supporting it and why they're spending time on other stuff. Jay Carney, the president's press secretary, said this yesterday. Take a listen. Jay Carney yesterday. Okay, in a second. Here it is. Jay Carney yesterday.
The point the president making broadly is that, I mean, if not for the president's insistence on pushing the American Jobs Act, would we be having a debate about jobs in the economy right now in Washington? So, I think it's a fair jab.
Yeah, I mean, this is what's happening, right? Representative, yep. The polling is showing that the people are largely on the president's side on these issues.
I think that he is now catching his own momentum and really hitting his stride because people are worried about jobs and because that's the only way they have to hold on to their house. It's the only way they have money to pay for their kids to go to college. It's the only way they have anything to give them anything resembling a middle class life. And if you don't have a job, you're in the tank real quickly because unemployment insurance goes for a while. But as we had a press conference today and said we should be extending unemployment insurance because next year another 6 million people will drop off unemployment, 1 million by January 15th. And when you start thinking in terms of what happens when you don't have unemployment insurance and now there are four people looking for every job that's out there, you have a very tough world, and people are looking for some hope, and the president's offering them some. He's saying the Republicans could act if they would.
Yeah. Well, and Congressman, you were talking about another important issue in your town hall. You said you spoke very bluntly about the need for campaign finance reform, calling it the number one issue among all other issues. And I was struck by that because I don't know if you know, my dad was a congressman, but my dad's dad was a janitor. I mean, he was a self-made man. I mean, this is part of this Occupy movement, isn't it? There is just, you've got to get the money out. I mean, whether it's of politics in general or just, like you say, the economic disparity in general.
Well, it's certainly in the political process. If one of your listeners decided they were going to run for Congress tomorrow, and they set out to do it, the first thing people would say to them is, how much money do you have? And if they didn't have any money, then they'd say, well, how are you going to raise the money? And they would tell them immediately that a campaign in a contested district is going to cost $1 million or $2 million. Now,
yeah,
for most people, the idea that I'm going to raise $2 million my first time just is so daunting that they would say, well, you know, I'm going to go back and sit down and watch television, because they would be overwhelmed by the thought that they had to raise $2 million. And when that's the system, when you're judged as a candidate by your ability to finance your campaign either personally or by raising it, you have excluded an awful lot of people who would make good, thoughtful congresspeople by that act alone. We simply need public financing. If only millionaires can run for Congress, well,
yep,
then we're in bad trouble.
Yep, absolutely. Representative Jim McDermott, always such a clear thinker and a clear talker, and we appreciate your time.
Talk to you again.
All right. Thank you, sir. There he goes.
Yeah.
From the awesome Seattle area.
Yeah.
Occupy Seattle is kicking some ass, by the way. FYI.
Sweet.
GTK. All right. Terry in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie. Long-time listener.
Thank you.
I just want to say about the Herman Cain sexual allegations, if you're not sexually harassed, blame it on yourself.
It's
your own damn fault.
Once again, clumsy. You probably tripped and pushed your boobs into Herman Cain.
Sure.
On purpose.
Yeah.
Jerry,
you know how dames get.
You trollop. Bunch of tarts. Jerry and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jer.
How you doing, Steph?
Good.
Long-time listener.
Thank you.
Okay, according to Herman Cain, let's see, if you join the Republican Party, you too can be rich. You can have anything you want. There is no racism. And you too can fart glitter and sunshine out of your ass. Yeah, okay.
Yes, all right. Thank you. All right.
Oh, dear.
He cracked himself up with this little fart joke. Okay, Nicole, and this isn't for amateurs.
No.
I'm a professional fart joke teller.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Nicole in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Nicole.
Hello, Stephanie. I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank you. Are you coming to Austin for Sexy Liberal?
I really wish I could, but it's still kind of too far for me to come. I need you to come closer east.
Oh, come on. Get in the car. Go. Texas isn't that big.
Yeah, Texas is that big.
It really is that big.
Yeah.
I was calling about the Herman Cain situation. I can't disclose a lot because I signed a non-disclosure agreement, but I can tell you that I was sexually harassed at work, and I was fired after I turned in my supervisor, and an investigation was completed, and I ended up finding an attorney, and we filed a lawsuit against my employer, and this whole process took over 2 years before, you know, during depositions, investigations, gathering evidence, and by the time we had come to trial, it had been over 2.5 years. You know, I had already moved on in my life. I had already, you know, I moved out of state. I was doing, you know, had another career. I had, you know, started a family. And I was really ready to move on. And they came to me and they made me an offer. And, you know, we went back and forth with my attorney back and forth. And, you know, my attorney finally, when they got up to, I would end up taking home after attorney's fees a year's salary. And I, you know, I really wanted to go to court. You know, as much as I had wanted to move on, I still wanted to go to court. And my attorney said, listen, you know, you had some issues at work. You had not met your sales goals a couple times.
Yeah.
You had been late. You were in college. You had been late a couple times. You called in sick. You don't have an impeccable employment record. You know, even though nothing was drugs or anything like that, it wasn't bad. I wasn't the perfect victim.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right. Isn't that something? You got to be the perfect person, the perfect victim.
You've got to be the perfect victim. Exactly.
Right.
And so my attorney said, you know, honestly, I would take this. If it were me, I would take this. And so I did, because that's what my attorney said. You know, that's what she advised me to do. And in, you know, looking at it, it was like, well, it's better, you know, at least to get something out of this situation than to not get anything at all. But, you know, for me, like listening to this story, maybe that's why she only got a year's salary. Maybe she wasn't the perfect victim.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
and it doesn't mean that it was untrue. That's exactly
that
right.
It doesn't mean it didn't happen, because the same thing happened to me. I mean, my boss was sending pictures.
Look at you. You're clearly running from the the law right now while you're telling your flimsy story.
I'm a criminal.
Far from the perfect. You're probably holding up a 7-Eleven right now while you're making this call.
That's what I do whenever I listen to Stephanie Miller.
That's multitasking.
Thank you.
It inspires me. That's my point in it. I mean, my supervisor had sent me pictures of his genitalia.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's how bad the sexual harassment was, but I still wasn't perfect enough.
Yeah. Well, again, I do that every sexy liberal show. Yeah. Take a picture of my stuff and send it to the whole audience. But what's your point? Go ahead, sue me. All right. Nicole, thank you very much for your story. That ought to be a lesson to you, Jim Boyd. You're late nearly every day. So don't even think. And do I sexually harass you every day? Yes, I do.
Computer says yes.
Do you have a case?
Computer says no.
No, because you're late. Every day I have it on tape.
And every day when Jim gets home and opens up his email, there's the picture of your genitalia.
There you go. See? You have it on tape.
Well, it's clearly not
Anthony
Weiner.
You have it on tape
Anthony
that
Weiner.
I sexually harass you, and I have it on tape that you're late.
It's clearly not Anthony Weiner.
It's a little blurry, but I can't make it out. All right. 45 minutes. What, do you got a lava lamp in your pants? What's going on in there? 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like it?
It's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
That's sexual harassment.
Yeah. This is from the Pointer Sisters slutty period.
Touch it. Steamy. Get it. It's hot.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Get it. It's a big steaming pile. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. 15 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. We love them. Best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Check it out. Go to GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in that promo code, Stephanie, won't you? Oh, here's some breaking news. It's not news to anybody. Lindsay Lohan is back in the hole.
No. Yeah, that's
Lindsay
right.
Lindsay Lohan again.
Back in the hole.
Despite her best court outfit yet. Gawker says it's her best outfit ever.
Nice. It was snappy.
Sexy Crypt Keeper Lindsay Lohan is heading back to jail, according to Gawker. The judge announced today after finding the troubled starlet in violation of her probation again. Anyway, Gawker's saying the important news out here in Hollywood is how cute she looks. Oh, my God. Last time she was in court, she was a rotten tooth zombie. This time, she's pure Roxy Hart. She could be a musical. She looks so fabulous.
Yes.
Okay.
She did get her meth mouth fixed, though.
Did she?
Oh,
yes.
Good.
Are there special meth dentists here in Hollywood now?
You just put veneers on.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Or caps or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what you did,
funny,
didn't you?
Yeah, I don't think it was meth.
The meth.
No?
No?
Yeah, well, I had gray fangs from tetracycline.
Ah.
Thanks,
that's
Mom.
That's the drug all the kids are on
now.
Yeah.
No, my mom took it. Way to go. You know, in the 60s, doctors handing out pills like candy.
Yeah, forget X.
The doctor gave me these to give me energy. The doctor gave me these to calm me down.
Dear, would you like a tranquilizer?
Yeah, well, who gave me the Werewolves of London gray fangs, Mom? Thanks! Okay. Mommy issues, anyone? Okay. I just love this other. Speaking of Gawker, Jim and I were laughing. Beverage that made Rick Perry seem really gay wasn't alcoholic, says his host.
Oh, dear.
Mm,
is it even worse that he wasn't drunk? I mean, really?
No.
Gawker, many people comment that he seems rather flamboyant when he drinks.
He just feels so free.
Mm-hmm.
A little sibilant.
He was
almost
feeling super.
Marcus Bachman free. Yeah.
Yes, I love the Gawker writes a cultish gubernatorial pinup. Ricky Perry may have raised a few million eyebrows after letting a couple purses drop out of his mouth during his remarks at a shindig thrown by Cornerstone Policy Research, New Hampshire. Regardless of how it may look to you on YouTube, you were not there. And as the good book states, thou shalt not judge thy sassily sloshed presidential hopefuls based on a few hilarious minutes of delightfully cringeworthy viral video. The Cornerstone director, Kevin Smith, said, I can tell you unequivocally he wasn't drinking at the event, and he hadn't been drinking prior to the event. Really? Were you in his hotel room with him? How would you know what he was doing?
Oh, dear.
The fool dude.
Hello.
The mind reels.
By the way, am I drinking in my hotel room before Sexy Liberal?
Of course.
Yes. Hello. There isn't a mini bar in America that's been safe from me. Anyway, Gawker writes, so stop spreading nasty rumors, you meanies. The only qualities Perry exhibited that evening were those of someone, quote, articulate, animated, and loose, kind of like vintage Charles Nelson Reilly on a particularly engaging episode of Match Game. He was. There was almost a Paul Lindiness creeping into his...
Sam, eh?
That was a good one. Live free or die. Okay.
It's awesome.
All right. And he was trying to butch it up a little bit, wasn't he? Calling people dude and man and, you know, love on you.
Live free or die.
And love on you, live free or die.
Ooh. Love on you, man.
Yeah, man.
Dude,
that's too high.
Wait, towel
snapping.
Nine. Dude, that's too high?
Yeah, that's what he said about somebody, whatever.
Oh, it's that
charges
sounds...
Charges something, I don't know.
Okay, that sounds like something else.
Oh, that's different.
Okay.
No, that was not an Aqua Buddha reference. It was him just trying to, oh, no. You know, towel snap it up.
No, like, dude, you're too high?
No. It was about...
Lower.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, well... See, that you were going for some totally different...
Than what you were going for.
You got your joke in my pot joke.
Yeah, I was wondering when you were going to get that.
Oh, dear. Uh-huh. While Herman Cain Ducks reported, this is on the Wire, the Atlantic Wire, while Herman Cain Ducks reported his questions about sexual harassment, and Rick Perry promises he wasn't wasted when he gave a giddy speech. Mitt Romney and President Obama have moved on. The two are acting like the general election has already started. Have you noticed that? Did you see the ad? The pro-Obama group Priorities USA launched an online ad. It's the first to use that 1984 photo of Romney with money dangling from his suit. Did you see that one?
Yeah.
The ad warns Mitt Romney's America is not our America. It leaves little doubt who the Democrats believe will face Obama in next year's general election. I don't want the festivities to be over. I'm going to cry the day the circus leaves town, is all I'm saying. I don't want this to be over yet. It's too much fun. Oh, looky here. This can't be good news for Republicans either. Obama health care law has unexpected beneficiaries.
What?
President Obama's health care law created a $5 billion fund to shore up coverage for early retirees, and some of that money is flowing to places you might not expect. Two Texas public employee programs are among the top 25 recipients of federal subsidies, despite Rick Perry's opposition to the law Republicans derisively call Obamacare.
We'll take the money, but, you know, we're still...
Well, don't worry. Rick Perry will get rid of all that for you once he's president. And records show the Huntsman family business received about $1 million. That highlights the gap between dire Republican rhetoric about the health care overhaul and the pragmatic impulse to cash in on the same awful government money. All right.
John Stewart suggested that Perry drank alcohol before the speech. It sounds like Rick Perry's a thing for John Stewart. Not that I wouldn't love to sit down with John and have a glass of wine, if he'll buy.
Is that what he said?
He said that?
Yes. Oh, my God. That's so gay. Oh, my God. That's really great. No man takes another man out for a glass of wine.
And pays for it.
What?
Interesting.
All right.
Sunday CNN politics.
So. Huh.
Love that. Okay.
So, yeah.
Although I would say John Boehner will probably take a drink from anybody. Drink of any kind from anybody.
Especially a lobbyist.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Why don't you go ask the 14 million Americans who are out of work whether they're better off today than they were 4 years ago?
You gotta be trust, damn it! That's Rick, what's important!
Rick Perry's probably like, why am I taking so much? Boner's drunk every time he comes on TV! Just
he
one
does
time.
Sound drunker.
Yeah, he does.
He was very slurry there.
He does. Hey!
You gotta be trust! It's out of the money, damn it.
Hey, guess who is doing well in this economy? North Dakota strippers make more money than you do, according to Denver.
Huh. And it's cold in North Dakota.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they might only have two strip clubs, Whispers and Heartbreakers.
In the entire state?
Wow.
Yeah, but the exotic dancers make more than some doctors. Rumors are swirling that Williston, North Carolina strippers earn up to
$3,000.
Yeah. North Dakota. They earn up to $3,000 a night, according to CNN.
That's a lot in North Dakota.
Damn.
Yeah, in recent years, thousands of men have relocated there for high-paying jobs in the oil industry, leaving behind their families and they're all alone and work long, demanding hours. Huh. And apparently go to Whispers or Heartbreakers. $3,000. I got it. You know what? I'm going back to the Itchy Kitty. That pays more than I'm making here.
Reseda ain't North Dakota.
Mm. A lot of oil money in Reseda.
Yeah. All right. Alan Grayson and sexy liberal John Fugel saying tomorrow. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor, and we'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.